This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living, and I'm Lee Chui Lin. Hearing loss. Some have to wait for a long time to begin treatment as they are unable to afford the cost of hearing devices. Others have problems with maintaining their devices as the cost of maintenance is also expensive. These delays make it hard for patients to acquire enough spoken language to be able to be in mainstream schools and the hearing world. Dr. Bashariatul Fatih Othman from UKM's Institute of Ear, Hearing and Speech shares how society can lend a hand, and she's joined by Fatin Husna Muhammad Razmin, who herself wears a cochlear implant. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So firstly, what is the definition of hearing loss in the context of our discussion that would mean you would need a hearing device?
Okay, I will start with a general definition. What a layman think hearing loss is being deaf. But there's a degree to that. It's a bit like having nearsightedness. Hearing loss, technical definition, is a hearing that is worse than 25 decibels. To put this in perspective, when you have a leaf falling from a tree gently floating in the air, that's about 0 decibels. A rock concert, that's 120 decibels. So hearing loss in the context of what we talked today is hearing loss that requires a device, which is probably starting from moderate to profound hearing loss. And that is the type of hearing loss of our patients that come to our clinic that needing devices and we want to help.
So if we have, you know, 0 to 100, 25 would be something along the lines of, I mean, where would, for example, somebody calling your name at home, where would we place that?
Depends on the distance.
Sure.
Okay. If someone is right beside you and shouting, it could go probably around, I think, 60 decibels, depending on how loud it comes out from the diaphragm. But it's from a distance, the sound would attenuate. It loses power as it travels.
So once you need a device, what is a hearing aid and then what is a cochlear implant? How do they work? How are they different?
Okay. Usually people see in terms of price. Hearing aid price starts at, say, $3,500. That's around the cheapest now. Cochlear implants, $70,000. That's what I know from our market price here in Malaysia, 70,000 ringgit. The difference is in the technology. Hearing aid is almost like cranking up your radio when you don't hear well. When you want to hear more, when it's not enough for you, when you know it's not sufficient enough for you to hear, you just crank up the volume. That's how pretty much a hearing aid works. Whereas cochlear implants have these tiny, tiny electrodes going into the cochlea that looks like a snail in your temporal bone, in your ear. And these electrodes replace the hair cells that usually for deaf people, these hair cells are the ones that are damaged. That's why the electrodes are there to send the signals to the auditory nerve, and the auditory nerve bring these hearing signals to the brain.
I just had a side thought. We are always told, you know, if we are quote unquote normally abled when it comes to hearing, don't listen to things too loudly or it'll damage your ears. So when it comes to somebody with a hearing aid, just cranking up that volume depending on how much or how little you can hear, does that not also, I mean, does it solve a problem and cause a problem?
Yeah, it sounds counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
But the cranking up is not done by the user.
Okay, thank goodness.
Thankfully, it's done by an audiologist who is a trained professional to actually program your hearing aid or even cochlear implant so that it goes and it fits the optimal requirement that a patient would need.
At what point would somebody not be able to make use of either of these devices?
Either of these devices. Okay, I'll start with hearing aids first. With hearing aids, usually if you have conductive hearing loss, meaning that your outer ear and your middle ear are the parts that are damaged and need to be helped, so you use you need bone anchored hearing aid. But if you have sensory neural hearing loss, hearing aids can only help to a certain level. If you are profoundly deaf, that is like almost totally deaf, the best hearing aid would not help you anymore, and that's when you decide to go for cochlear implants. And cochlear implants is the best for profound hearing loss. In some countries with more money, even moderate to severe hearing loss, they would start doing implants. because the benefit really, really far outweighs the risks. But in some very, very minority cases where the patient doesn't have hearing nerve, the nerve to send the auditory signal to the brain is not there, then cochlear implant is really not an option because there's nothing to carry the sound to the brain.
So by and large then, speaking very broadly, provided you can afford it, the cochlear implant can be for almost everyone except for
conductive hearing loss.
Okay.
And without those without the hearing nerve.
And so deciding who is a candidate for which is a question of budget as well as hearing ability?
That is true. I can only speak for our practice in UKM because we've been doing this since 1995, and Fatin here received hers in 1998.
Yeah,
yes,
eight.
1998. So what we do is we have a team. We always work in a team. We have, of course, the surgeon, otologist, audiologist, speech-language therapist. We now have a larger group. We have clinical linguist, special educationist, radiologist, pediatrician, counsellor. I can say almost you name it, we've got it on our team. We are such a motley crew of cochlear implant team, and we meet every 2 months and we discuss our current case, our case that we flag, and also the cases, the future cases that we would really thresh out every factor. What is the hearing like? What's the medical status like? What's the brain imaging like? What's the family issues like? Whether the family is going to be able to maintain it, and if they are not, whether we can help them financially. So these are the things that we seriously, seriously consider to decide the candidacy.
We're talking today about hearing loss and hearing devices. If you have any questions, give us a call. That number is 03-7710-9000. You can also text 016-201-9000 to reach us or tweet at BFM Radio. Fatin, you were born deaf. Is that correct?
I feel like it's a part of me. So like I forgot that I was born deaf. So like, I hear everything. Yeah.
So you don't have any memories of growing up deaf because you got your implant very early? Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't even remember because like, all I remember is it's just part of me, you know. Yeah.
Do you remember when you began therapy and what that was like?
I was too young, actually. But I remember that I went there like every week. And I saw many different therapists, and they taught me how to speak and how to listen.
How was the listening and language training at home done by your parents? So there's the therapy sessions you went for, but then what happened at home?
At home, my parents taught me how to speak, like how to read. And I think, yeah, I don't even remember, but yeah.
Now, does it still impact your life, having a cochlear implant? I mean, do people... Is it something you talk about? Is it something that people know about you?
Yes. It's like it's different. Like, I'm really different. Like, everyone is normal. Everyone can hear, but I can. Like, there are some time that I have difficult time, but I still, like, practice. Like, I have to get to use it. I have to do this. Yeah. I have to... here, no matter what.
What can you give me an example of some of those difficult times? What are the difficulties?
Like for example, like right now I'm in university. I'm studying accounting and finance, and I'm sitting in lecture hall. It's really huge, so it's kind of hard for me to focus on the lecture. But I try my best. So I sit in the front and to listen to lecture. And look at his smile. So I try my best to understand.
So growing up, you were accustomed to lip reading as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Even without cochlear implant, I can read the people's lip. Yeah.
How would you say your hearing has impacted your life? You know, the fact that you have the implant, the fact that you can sit in lecture halls and listen to your lecturer, for example, even if it's difficult.
How is it impact on me? I don't know. it's like part of me. That's it. I don't know how to explain. Yeah.
Dr. Basha, one thing I was curious about also is the issue of maintenance. Mm-hmm. What do you need to do to maintain either your cochlear implant or your hearing aid?
Okay, because we just switched from Fatin, so I guess I just explain cochlear implant first. Even if a family is given money to buy implant, after that, they have to change cables, especially for young kids who run around. Cable can easily get snagged and they need to be replaced. That's about 350, I think, for one short cable. The battery is nearly 1,000, and every 2 to 3 years, you need to change the battery. So for families who are struggling, the lower middle class and working class group find it really hard to maintain that. For hearing aids, from time to time, you need to send for maintenance. Something will go wrong. Usually, especially for kids, they get sweaty, they play, they fall and things like that. So just to maintain that, sometimes for some families, it will be a long time, 2-3 months. And sometimes when Raya comes in or Deepavali comes in, it clashes with the time when the family spending is huge. So they just, something needs to wait. And sometimes it's sad that the hearing devices has to wait because other family priorities take over.
Fatin, do you still go to the doctor often to maintain the cochlear implant, or is it just something that you can proceed through normally?
I only go once a year to check whether is it working or not. Like, to check is it, like, you know, is it loud or is it not loud, something like that.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Basharatul Fatih Othman from the Institute of Ear, Hearing and Speech at UKM, as well as Fatin Husna Muhammad Razmin, who is a cochlear implant wearer. And today we're talking about hearing loss and hearing devices. We've been covering hearing aids as well as cochlear implants, the comparison between the two. If you have any questions about hearing loss, about the kinds of devices that could be used to assist with that, give us a call. That number is 03-7710-9000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back. You are listening today to BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. My guests today are Dr. Basharatul Fatih Othman is from the Institute of Ear, Hearing and Speech over at UKM, as well as Fatin Husna Muhammad Razmin, who is a cochlear implant wearer. We're talking today about hearing loss and hearing devices. Your different options include having a hearing aid or having a cochlear implant like Fatin. And we've been getting her experience as well as the clinical science behind all of this. We are welcoming your questions. If you've got any, do send them in. That number to call is 03-7710-9000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, before we continue, we did have some listener questions who says, one says, my friend does not want to get the hearing aid because all kinds of sounds are magnified. Is it dangerous to walk on the road?
Is it dangerous to walk on the road? I think it's more dangerous if you can't hear the sound coming from a vehicle that's very near you. It's for your own safety. So when all sounds are magnified, I think what you need to do is keep discussing, negotiating with your audiologist. The audiologist, if there are audiologists who are worth their salt, they should be able to program it to be the best program for you. So, yeah.
With that notion of everything being amplified, I mean, how is that different? So, for example, how would that be different from how you and I hear?
Okay, because we have been hearing things for a long time normally, quote unquote. So our brain is able to select, okay, I'll pay attention to you. I won't listen to the aircon that I can hear in the background. I'll be able to filter that out. So when you have another technology that becomes a medium between the sound and your brain hasn't figured out a way yet to sort that out. So the persistence, perseverance, patience, along with good relationship with the professional is very important so that you can use your technology and use it well that is the most appropriate for you.
And eventually it would adjust, right? Because your brain will again adjust to filtering things
out.
Yes,
we have people even with cochlear implants for like a week was lost because I said I've spent $70,000 and I heard it's gibberish. And this is a person who lost hearing as an adult, so they know what hearing is like. But after a week, suddenly wake up in the morning and say, hey, I can hear again. So give some time. The brain is such a magnificent thing that will adjust itself. Eventually, give it time.
Wong wants to know, is there any treatment for ringing in ears? I guess tinnitus?
Tinnitus, unfortunately, I can't cover it today. But yes, I won't say treatment, but there is a certain procedures, and we have an expert of tinnitus in UKM clinic. So I would advise you to contact us so we can put you in touch with our tinnitus expert.
Coming back to what we're talking about today, and again, if you have any questions, that number to call is 03-7710-9000. Text, like our listeners there, 0162019000, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Fatin, have you ever had adjustments made to your cochlear implant?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, on your yearly visits to the doctor, have there been any sort of, you know, when you talk about how your hearing experience has been like, have there been any adjustments made to the volume or to anything?
I think it's just a volume, yeah.
And how does that usually go, Dr. Basha? I mean, what is the conversation that you need to say, okay, fine, we'll make it louder?
Well, the audiologist would have certain parameters. Mm-hmm. They would have the record. It's all logged into their data, and they say, okay, what is the previous level? And then they mm-hmm. would get Fatin to sit down and say, if you hear that, press this button, right?
Yeah.
Okay, press if you hear
it. Yeah, the peep thing.
Yeah, so the softer sound. And Fatin has just got an upgrade. Mm-hmm. So the implant that she first used was 18 years ago, so she got an upgrade last year, which was great, much better hearing now. So the audiologist would change it according to what the person says, okay, I can hear good enough at this level, and that's the new one. That doesn't stay, though. It will change over time.
And what causes that change?
Sometimes it's because, mostly because of the brain. It is a bit like physiology and sometimes aging or whatever factor. It's a bit like wearing your specs. You can't wear the same spec for 10 years, right? Same with our hearing devices. You can't just wear it for 10 years.
A listener wants to know, is the hearing aid transferable? And by that, I mean, can I use somebody else's aid?
Yes and no. You can use the hearing aid, but not the program. So say if I'm deaf and I want to use, say, Fatin's hearing aid, I can take the thing, but I have to get the audiologist to reprogram it to my level of hearing loss.
Because otherwise it might amplify, but it might not be enough for me.
Yes.
Or it might be too much
for me. Might be too much, might be not enough, so it has to be reprogrammed.
Another listener's question. My mother has been wearing a hearing aid on one side of her ear, but her earring has deteriorated, so the audiologist is advising her to wear on both sides. She doesn't feel comfortable wearing it on the other side due to the loud noise. What option does she have?
Well, that is, to me, because it's what someone is used to having before. Loudness is often the main complaint of patients. They said it's uncomfortable, it's too loud and all that. I can't really say, like, okay, then get another hearing aid. But what I can suggest is discuss back with the audiologist who has the full history of your mom to probably start with a slightly lower level and slowly get her induced to it gradually.
There is this common misconception, and I might be wrong, this might be just my misconception, to be upfront, that hearing aids might be quite visible or they might be clunky. You know, you see somebody out and you think, oh, I know that they're wearing a hearing aid. Is that still the case? I mean, do we have devices that are less obtrusive?
You mean less visible. So aesthetically, people won't know, right?
Just because I can imagine, you know, you might feel that you don't want everybody to know.
To know that you're deaf.
That you're hard of hearing, yeah.
Because hearing loss or deafness is a very hidden disability. People don't know you're deaf. And that's very different from any other special needs. However, yes, to answer your question, yes, they are in the canal, completely hidden. People won't know until they peer into your ear and say, oh, there's a hearing aid in your ear, in your canal. But that's not for all hearing loss levels. So that really depends on what is your severity and what is the type of hearing loss.
But it's no longer just, well, if you have hearing loss, this is what you have, you know, the thing with the cable, etc. Now you can talk about all your different options?
There are different options, but that really depends on the type and severity of your loss.
If you've got any questions, our phone lines remain open. The number is 03-7710-9000. The number to text, 016-201-9000. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, Fatin got her cochlear implant in at the age of 3, which is that considered a good age?
It was considered a very good age in 1998.
And why is it important to get early access to these devices?
Okay, this is especially for children. We started hearing not after we are born. We started hearing in the second trimester in our mother's womb. So if you only get your hearing device at 2 years old, be it cochlear implant or hearing aids, meaning that you've missed not just 2 years, 2 years plus 4.5 months in your mother's womb. So that's why you need to just catch up as much as you can. And secondly, there's this thing called statistical learning, where what babies do before the age of 12 months, we take stock of the sounds around us. So when we get immersed in the language that adults talk around us, we know, okay, this sound, this sound, this sound, this sound, which we put in our babble, the cute baby talk, and this is what comes out in our first language. That's why native language speakers speak so naturally. So when they miss this infancy time, the height, the prime time of learning these speech sounds, their speech won't become normal. It will sound quite unnatural. That's why it's very early to get it, very, very, very young. And the third factor that I should say is that in our UKM group of cochlear implantees, 60% of our cochlear implantees are speaking like Fatin in mainstream school like Fatin. And their average age of wearing a device is 3 years and 2 months. The other 40% who did not use speaking, spoken language, and do not go to mainstream school, they are wearing their devices much later, after 4 years. So that is why if you wear a hearing device and you want to be able to listen and speak, you have to come in as early as you can.
Fatin, what was learning languages and learning to speak like for you? I mean, was that something that you found easy to pick up, like your classmates?
It's easy to pick up because Dr. Pasha said, it's better from young age. So I learned and I already know what was going on. And yeah.
Dr. Pasha, could you describe what a typical session of hearing and speech therapy would be like?
Okay, it is a combined work of an audiologist and speech therapist. With all due respect to otologists, we love you and you're part of it as well because you do the implant and all that. But when you talk about the therapy, the audiologist will make sure that they have the best amplification for hearing aids or the cochlear implant is mapped the best for the patient's hearing loss. And then for the speech part, which is what I do because I'm a speech therapist by training, I work a lot with the family. Like, I have worked a lot with Fatin's mother. That's why she doesn't remember me much. She remembers her mother, but not me, because I would sit with the mother, mostly mothers. There are some brilliant fathers as well. And I teach them until they become as skilled as I am. And then when they go home, because they spend 7 days a week with their child, they will be able to carry over this therapy at home. So for families who prefer that, okay, I just want to watch, I don't want to be involved, we do a lot of counseling to make them understand why their involvement is crucial, because we can't do therapy if they don't want to be involved.
Isaac wants to know, I have a constant buzzing sound in both my ears. What is the reason for this? Should I be worried? Is this the early warning signs of a hearing disability?
Tinnitus is part of the hearing issues that are managed by audiologists. If you haven't seen any audiologists before, I suggest you to contact us as soon as possible. Write to us. We will put you in touch with our expert of tinnitus at our clinic.
Another listener says, I suffer from vertigo. I also find that my hearing right now is not as sharp. Any relation between vertigo and hearing loss? Is there anything I can do?
Because balance is right next to our cochlea. It's the same. It comes from the same source, if you like. So sometimes if you have balance, the hearing will get affected as well. Go and see an ENT specialist. Get yourself properly diagnosed, and you may be further referred to an audiologist if you need a device for hearing loss.
So for people who are experiencing issues with their ears, would you suggest going straight to the ENT and bypassing the GP? I mean, because sometimes there are some specialists who will say, look, go to your GP. If you need a referral, we'll get you a referral. But for ear-related issues, would you say just going to an ENT is fine?
Yes and no, depending on how much you trust your GP. The problem nowadays, even in 2016, we have, thankfully, not a big number, but a very minority, a small number of GPs who tell patients that, oh, you can't do hearing tests yet. Your child is only 3 years old. Hearing tests can only be done after 4 years old. We still get that. So we thought, oh my, you know, like, why did you hear that? Why did you listen to that? You should have come to us earlier. So ENT surgeons, or sorry, ENT specialists would be able to advise better.
Does wearing a device mean that a person who is hard of hearing would definitely be able to speak?
Yes and no.
Yes, I can speak.
You can speak because you have all the factors that say, okay, all the ticks that would help you to speak. They are more likely to speak if they get diagnosed early, like Fatin. How early? What is late? I think over 4 years is late. The brain starts to slow down for language, for absorbing and learning language. And secondly, the device has to be appropriately fitted by people who are experienced and skilled. So going to the right clinic is very important. And if the child is appropriate for a cochlear implant, that has to be done ASAP. And the therapist doing working together with the family has to use spoken language and using highly facilitative language technique. It's not just any kind of therapy. There are certain things that you do differently when you have a patient with hearing loss. And last but not least, the kind of therapy has to empower the family so that they can be the therapist at home. If the family starts to ask, can we come here every day? And that would, to me, ring off the alarm bell, because we don't want that dependency, because family is the key.
The same listener who asked about his mother's hearing aid earlier, his or her mother's hearing aid earlier, has said there are so many hearing aid brands in the market. Is there any real differentiation between them?
Yes, because when the brands, you probably want to do your own homework to know whether is that the latest brand or is that a brand that is being phased out, because the phased out brands are usually a bit cheaper. And you say, oh, okay, you get a good deal, but actually the brand
is
out of date. So be wary of that, yeah.
So in this case, and I guess I'm just going to make this question as blunt as I can, is it true then that price would equate to quality, or is that not necessary? Because that's not the case, you know, in some other areas of science and devices. But in this case, is that a fair generalization?
Short answer, yes. Long answer, no, because that depends who sells it to you. What I would advise for people who want to go for treatment, to look for where they should get treatment, go to a place that, do a bit of homework, talk to people, find a place that has been doing this for a long time, find a place that is not too business-oriented. They are more patient-oriented. You are the core, you are the focus of their business, not about the profit. So, and also find a place that has a lot of interprofessional collaboration. It's not just audiologist. It's not just a person who looks into your ear. There is also a counselor. There's a person who looks after the speech and language and things like that. So that would be my tips.
And there it would be an issue of gut feel, right? I mean, you'd be able to tell whether somebody is prioritizing you.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us how UKM's Institute Hears has been involved in helping patients with hearing loss.
Institute Hears itself is actually the child, if you like, of UKM Cochlear Implant Team. UKM Cochlear Implant Team is the first ever cochlear implant program in Malaysia. We started in 1995. And the hard work and dedication of a group of people from this team has brought about the birth of Institute here. So now we are overlooking the running and the administrative matters of the cochlear implant team. So the cochlear implant team to date we have over 400 patients. And to put this into perspective, the whole Malaysia has about a little bit over 1,000 cochlear implant patients, and 400 over of these 1,000 patients is ours in UKM. And because we are the oldest, we have had the longest journey, I guess. And that is why we are at the luxury. We have the luxury of saying, okay, we have this motley crew of people who are able to help patient in a holistic way. And we put the patient and the family at the core of our service.
What is the Segenggam Budi Segunung Harapan charity event?
Okay, Segenggam Budi Segunung Harapan is a charity event that we aim to raise funds for our patients who are unable to afford for their devices or to maintain their devices. And it will happen this Sunday, 23rd October 2016, where it's at Panggung Bandaraya, Jalan Raja, Kuala Lumpur. If you're traveling by car, you can use Waze and just put MUD, M-U-D, Kuala Lumpur. We offer $100 donation package, and you will get a ceramic bowl. And these ceramic bowls are actually made by our children, our patients at the clinic. You will get MUD, the musical ticket. You'll get to eat. We have a lot of food and drink. We call it food and drink passport. And of course, you're contributing to the hearing loss fund as well. And we have a lot of supporters to our event, MUD KL, the musical, Institute Kraft Negara, that hosted our pottery workshop. And also other agencies like Petronita, Cochlear Malaysia, and 20dB Hearing. Our F&B sponsors who are very generous, Madam Kwan's Old Town, White Coffee, IOI, Palm Garden, Putrajaya, Manhattan Fish Market, New York Steak Station. There's a lot of food. Please come. If you don't come, who would eat the food? But buy the donation package, $100. You'll get to eat, you'll get entertainment, you'll get a bowl, and you are building a mountain of hope. It's a Gunung Harapan for our patients with hearing loss.
And when is that happening again?
23rd of October 2016. You can email us at i-hears@ukm.edu.my i-hears@ukm.edu.my or call us, WhatsApp or SMS at 011-3747-7854. I repeat, 011-3747-7854, or find us on Facebook page Institute-Hears.
And finally, for the both of you, if you know somebody who is hard of hearing, what would your advice be?
First of all, own up to the problem, because especially if it's acquired hearing loss, you may deny that, I'll get by, until it gets worse and worse. Get help early.
You agree? Yeah, you just get a help.
Don't wait.
Early, yeah.
And before I let you go, Dr. Basha, there was a question that came in. Mm-hmm. It's from a mother of a 27-year-old who's been profoundly deaf all of his life and is very intelligent. What can be done about this?
Well, I would ask whether the son is actually wearing any hearing devices. And I assume because of the age, the person is using sign language. I think sign language is such a beautiful thing for those who did not have the chance to learn spoken language at their early age. And I think vocational training would help the person to be independent and self-reliant.
And so for somebody who is 27 years old and well past that age of 4 that you mentioned earlier, I mean, there is no need in such a situation to prioritize spoken language over sign language, right?
When it comes to a point where we decide mode of communication is more important than being able to speak. Because, say, if I have a child who's already 7 years old and wanted to learn to speak, 7 years is at the age you start schooling. And to be able to be in school, you have to have a language, whether it's spoken language in mainstream or sign language in pendidikan khas. And because of the age, you want to start schooling, go to sekolah pendidikan khas, learn your sign language, be fluent in the sign language so that you can continue on with your academic journey.
Thank you both very much for coming in today. I've been speaking with Dr. Basharatul Fatih Othman from the Institute of Ear, Hearing and Speech at UKM and Fatin Husna Muhammad Razmin, who is a wearer of a cochlear implant. And we've been talking today about hearing loss and hearing devices. Thank you both very much for coming in. This has been Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.